ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়া শ্রীচৈতন্য প্রসাদেন তদ্রূপস্য বিনির্ণয়ম্ বালোপি কুরুতে শাস্ত্রম্ দৃষ্ট্বা ব্রজ বিলাসিনঃ।
By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a foolish child can fully describe the real nature of Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of the pastimes of Braja, according to the vision of the revealed scriptures. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One can ascertain the meaning of this Sanskrit sloka only when one is endowed with the causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Sri Krishna, being the absolute personality of Godhead, cannot be exposed to the mundane instruments of vision. He reserves the right not to be exposed by the intellectual feats of non-devotees. Notwithstanding this truth, even a small child can easily understand Lord Sri Krishna and his transcendental pastimes in the land of Vrindavan by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a foolish child can fully describe the real nature of Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of the pastimes of Braja, according to the vision of the revealed scriptures. We are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 4, Text 1. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who has after taking the dust of Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, all the Vaishnavas, Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, is presenting the very essence of all the knowledge of all the scriptures. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaishta Sarabhair Aham Eva Vedo Vedanta Krit Veda Veda Vajaham. Not only has Krishna given us the Vedas, but he's the very goal of the Vedas, to know him, to understand him. To know him and to understand him is to love him. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvata gyatva deham punar janmanaiti mameti sorjuna. One who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities never takes birth again in this material world, but attains to my supreme abode. These are the words of Lord Sri Krishna. we cannot understand Krishna, save and except by the mercy of Krishna. It is to only that person who Krishna is pleased to reveal himself to. There is no other way to truly realize who is the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is Krishna. There is the ascending process, which is the material way of living. We work hard to earn money. We study hard to get academic degrees. We look nice to attract other people. We speak nicely so that we seem learned. And sometimes we give in charity, we perform tapasya, we do meditation, yoga, puja, chant mantras to achieve God. But through these processes, through any process of our own endeavor, we cannot actually reach Krishna. We cannot, in truth, in a sustainable way, transcend the sufferings and miseries of material existence. Thus Krishna tells Daivi Yeshu Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratya Mamivamya Prabhadyante Maya Metatarandite. It's material nature, which is conducted by his own energy. Very difficult to overcome. At every moment, obstacles will be there. What to speak to transcend forever? Dukalayama Shashvatam. All the sufferings, sufferings of the body and mind, sufferings caused by other living beings, sufferings caused by natural disturbances. But Krishna tells, but one who takes shelter of me can easily cross beyond it. Material nature is very strong. We get a glimpse here in Mumbai during the monsoons. What can you do when it's pouring rain? Can't stop it. But you could take shelter somewhere. It's the only way to survive, really. You have to take shelter somewhere. But the miseries, the rainstorm of material existence, the only shelter is in Krishna. Like a child, very small, in danger, take shelter of a parent, knowing I have no other hope. A devotee understands, however learned we are, however austere we are, however physically strong, however influential over others we may be, none of those things can give us the shelter of Krishna. Only by humbling ourselves completely and seeking shelter. Krishna, I am yours. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught that every aspect of life, its real purpose is to find the shelter of Krishna. He was Nimai Pandit, the greatest scholar in all the world, at a time when scholarship was the highest achievement that one can gain. Today, to a large extent, power is money.
But in those days, power was knowledge. And he was the most knowledgeable. He conquered the undefeated world champion conqueror of debate, Keshav Kashmiri. He was Brahman, the gurus of society. And after he chose by his sweet will to take sannyas, according to Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the first thing he did is he meditated upon the story of the Avanti Brahman of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very important story. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of the Mahabhava of Sri Radha, who has appeared in the form of a devotee, in the mood of a devotee, to teach us what pleases Krishna. Samsidhir Haritoshanam. The purpose of our dharma, the purpose of our occupation, the purpose of human life is to please Krishna. And the nature of our egos is we want to determine what pleases Krishna. But the idea of Sharanagati, the idea of surrender, is to seek out from Krishna what pleases you. Evam parampara praptam. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, through parampara, through the guru, disciple, succession, he's speaking the truth. Guru, sadhu, shastra. So what pleases Krishna? And there's so many different perspectives in the Vedic literature, as what to speak of scriptures all over the world. And even among sadhus, there are many perspectives. And in Kali Yuga, it's especially confusing. So therefore, Krishna comes himself as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to very clearly, very easily reveal to the world what pleases him. Lord Chaitanya knows what pleases Krishna because he is Krishna. And even deeper than that, Lord Chaitanya knows what pleases Krishna because he has Sri Radha's love. Sri Radharani knows how to please Krishna even better than Krishna knows how to please Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, Bhaktiya mama bijananti. The only way to really know me is through bhakti. And what is bhakti? Bhakti is the energy of Sri Radha. She's the very personification of bhakti. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas for the simple purpose of facilitating giving the most fallen souls Krishna consciousness. His meditation when he took sannyas was on the story of the Avanti Brahman. In certain ways, we can understand that the Avanti Brahman represents all of us. He was quite extreme in his mentality during his life, but we all have these propensities to one extent or another. He was identifying with his body, he was identifying with his mind, he was identifying that I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, I am the proprietor. Because of these misconceptions, he became very greedy. Greed for money. And he was actually making a lot of money. And in that obsession, He thought that he had the right to misuse, to mistreat other people through his words, through his actions. He caused so many people pain because of his arrogance. And what happened is somehow or other beyond his control. He lost everything. He lost all his prestige, all his popularity. He lost all of his wealth. He had nothing, not even a place to stay. And at that state, nobody cared about him anymore. When you have so much, sometimes you really don't know who cares about you. Do they care about what you give them? And when you can't give them anymore, are they there for you? We see this happening as Kali Yuga progresses. A mother, a father, they give their life, everything to provide for their children. Because their children are helpless, they need them. And they take care of them through every stage of life till they grow up. And then the parents become old and they become helpless. And then the children don't care anymore. Send them off for somebody else to take care of. Or just abandon them. It's happening more and more. Because they are not necessary to provide. In fact, they become a liability. Avanti Brahman, in that holy place of Avanti Desh, which is known for Dharma, he was in a miserable state. He was completely alone with nothing. And it describes the turmoil in his mind of suffering. And in that state, he surrendered to Krishna. He understood the Lord who is within my heart, within the heart of every living being, is truly my only shelter. And as he took shelter of Krishna, he appreciated the sufferings and difficulties he was going through because it helped him to take shelter of Krishna. He totally humbled himself. And in that state, like a little child to his parent, he surrendered. And he attained the supreme liberation. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself, is giving so much appreciation and honor. The beautiful prayers of the Avanti Brahman are recited every day by all those who accept the sannyas order in the line of Lord Chaitanya. To this day and forevermore. So Lord Chaitanya is teaching this simple principle. The only way of understanding Krishna is when Krishna makes himself known to us. Otherwise, it's just theoretical. And theory is so important only when it gives us the proper direction, the proper values by which we totally humble ourselves in the shelter of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, we recited the verse where Krishna says, one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities never takes birth in this material world but attains my abode.
But the only way, Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanapamam Papadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha.
Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that after many, many births of cultivating knowledge, only when one surrenders to me, he's understood the actual path at the point of surrender. And in that surrender, Krishna reveals himself. According to our surrender, Krishna reveals himself to us.
So therefore, whatever we're doing, we have to check our ego and ask the simple question, what will please Krishna? And the mind, if you allow it to do so, it will complicate that question endlessly. But it's very simple. Krishna tells us what pleases him. And if we're still confused, we ask to senior Vaishnava, we ask our Shiksha Gurus, our Diksha Gurus, what will please Krishna? When you serve with full enthusiasm, great determination, when you're truly trying to be compassionate to all souls, and when you're really in the mood of the servant of the servant of the Lord's devotees, Krishna tells that one who calls himself my devotee is not really my devotee, but one who calls himself the servant of my devotees. And Lord Chaitanya extended to the servant of the servant of the servant of my devotees, that is my devotee. So when Prabhupada said, show your love by how you cooperate to push this great mission forward, if we're causing disunity, if we're causing unnecessary anxiety and pain to people, if we're putting ourselves so much first, when you put yourself first, you're really throwing yourself in the most deplorable situation. Because the nature of the true self is jivara swarupoi krishna nityadasta, to be a servant of Krishna. So when we're trying to do what pleases Krishna, we're actually putting our soul first, our true self first. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna reveals himself. He reveals who he is. He reveals what is this material nature we're dealing with, how karma is working. He's revealing to us who we are as eternal souls, as parts and parcels residing within this body. And he's teaching us what really is the purpose of life. There is Vishnu Tattva, the supreme absolute truth, the cause of all causes. There is Jiva Tattva, the part and parcel living entities who are eternally servants of Krishna, eternally subordinate to Krishna. There is Shakti Tattva, the Lord's divine energy, spiritual energy, Yoga Maya, Ladini Shakti, Sandini Samvit, and then there's the material energy. And the jiva, created as a part and parcel of Krishna, has free will. Within this free will, we have the choice to either come under the control of Krishna's spiritual energy through surrender and devotion, or the material energy through trying to be the enjoyer, the proprietor, and the controller. That is our choice. Krishna reveals in Bhagavad Gita how everything is coming from him. He's the original seed of all existence. Krishna tells, I'm the strength of the strong. I'm the intelligence of the intelligence. I am the principle of sex life that procreates and gives the capacity for children. He's the light of the sun and the moon. He's the fragrance of the earth. Wherever there's fragrance, it's coming from Krishna. Wherever there's heat, Krishna says, I'm the heat and fire. In this way, Krishna's telling through these beautiful verses, which are poetically recited, how Krishna's everything, and everything's coming from Krishna. And everything and everyone, whoever we are, we're completely dependent on Krishna. And yet Krishna tells, I'm separate. He is everything, but still he's the source of everything. This Achintya Bheda Bheda, simultaneous one indifference, is the key to understanding prema, or eternal ecstatic love. Yes, Krishna is everything. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, I am the support and the basis of Brahman, the all-pervading infinite light of the Brahma Jyoti. Krishna tells, is coming from me. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samangata. All spiritual and all material worlds, everything comes from me, emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So wherever we see anything wonderful, Krishna tells, all the wonderful, splendorous things of creation, it's just a spark, a particle of Krishna's attraction. That is the Supreme Lord. And in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna reveals Virat Rupa, the universal form. Incredible. Arjuna couldn't even bear to see him. So full of light, so full of unbelievable, incredible manifestations within one. Arjuna could see before his eyes everything and everyone being destroyed. And then Krishna says, I am time, the destroyer of everything and everyone within material existence. Srila Prabhupada quotes from Chanakya Pandit that if you lose one moment, you cannot buy it back for all the money and all the wealth and all the treasures within the creation. In the form of time, Krishna's stealing everything for us. So it's in the process. There's really not much difference between a newborn baby
and a person on their deathbed. We make big distinctions. But the person on the deathbed is about to become a newborn baby. What species that determines is determined by what he thinks of. Antakali chamamiva, yamyamvapi smaranbhavam. And the little infant baby is about to become an old person too, by the power of time. In the framework of this little time we have in our human life, we could become very wealthy. And in the framework of time, all our wealth is taken away. We can get so many degrees in colleges and have so much influence over other people's lives in the course of time. And in the same course of time, everything is taken away. How mystical. And Krishna personifies time as the universal form. Arjuna was a great warrior. He was very fearless, heroic. He had his Gandiva bow, but he was very afraid of the universal form. He said, Krishna, take this away from me. I cannot bear to look at it. I just want to see my friend Krishna. So Arjuna was so afraid of the universal form, the personification of time. And time is within us. He's all around us. We're seeing every moment. But who are we compared to Arjuna? But we're so in illusion, we don't see how it's imperceptibly stealing everything from us. Krishna concludes Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papi Vyo Moksha Ishami Mahasaja. We have so many conceptions of Dharma. They don't work beyond the material limitations they're confined to. Just surrender to me. We surrender by always thinking of Krishna, by worshiping Krishna, by offering our obeisances to Krishna. And Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya to teach us such a simple way of doing it, how to always think of Krishna, by hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees, by learning the process of bhakti or service, and especially through chanting the holy name. Srimad Bhagavatam describes the whole creation of material existence. How from the spiritual world Krishna expands himself. Vasudev, Shankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna. From Shankarshan he expands himself into Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha. From Narayan becomes a secondary of these quadruple manifestations, plenary portions of the Lord. The Lord becomes Karano Dakshayi Vishnu, the Lord of the creation. Garbo Dakshayi Vishnu, the Lord of the universes. And Kiro Dakshayi Vishnu, who is the Lord within the heart, the Lord of every living being. When we understand these things, we get a glimpse into how great is God. Krishna, when he's in yoga nidra,
He's kind of in a transcendental sleeping state. All he has to do is exhale, and the entire cosmic manifestation and all living beings come into being. And his inhalation, everything is destroyed. There's nothing left in the cosmic manifestation except himself when he inhales. This is reality. We're inhaling, we're exhaling. If we don't, we die. And while we do, you know, what effect are we having? That's Mahavishnu. All the universes are coming out of the pores of his body. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us some glimpses of the greatness of God within the creation. And Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanarataya sambhavami yuge yuge. He comes as so many avatars. For what purpose? To establish dharma, what we have forgotten. To protect the innocent, the devotees, and to annihilate the miscreants. And Srimad Bhagavatam gives some description of various principal avatars. It also declares just as many waves there are in the ocean, that's how many times Krishna incarnates. In so many different forms also. As any scientist or marine biologist ever even attempted to count the waves in the ocean? And even if you do, within a moment, there's new ones of the same quantity. If you can somehow count exactly 10 trillion, 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 trillion waves in an ocean, the next moment there's that many more. That's Krishna's greatness. But Srimad Bhagavatam reveals to us some of the principal incarnations and how great they are. Matsya. Amazing. Krishna appears as a fish. The Supreme Lord Vishnu comes. How many of you would like to be a fish? Why does Krishna become a fish? You see, when we're a fish, we think we're a fish. We're an eternal soul under the illusion we're a fish. But really, there's not that much difference. Now we're an eternal soul thinking I'm a man or a woman or I'm of this color or of this particular profession and with this ego. But when Krishna comes as a fish, he's Krishna with full knowledge. He appears in that form out of his complete mercy. And he's such a gigantic fish. He's bigger than the whole world. He's coming to protect, restore the Vedas out of his mercy. When Krishna, during the churning of the ocean of milk, becomes a tortoise, korma. If you measure from one part of his shell to the other side of the shell, it's approximately 800,000 miles. Now, the whole world around is only about 25,000 miles. So 800,000 miles, a turtle's shell. It's incomprehensible. And he's crawling. And he's saving all the demigods in that form. And if we say this is impossible, what is impossible for Krishna? It's impossible for us. It's impossible in our observation, but for the creator of everything that is created, and who lives infinitely greater beyond creation, Krishna has a chinta shakti, inconceivable potencies. He appears as Varaha Dev, Lord Boar, and to protect the earth, and to protect the demigods, and to protect all the sages and rishis, and to protect us, he lifts the earth planet between his tusks. And the great Asura Hiranyaksha, with one little touch of his hoof, he liberates him. Narasingha Dev. We have murtis of Narasingha Dev in our temples. And they look pretty scary sometimes. But according to our love and devotion, we take the mood of Prahlad, we see only beauty and shelter there. But when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, what was the size? What was the nature of the anger of Narasingha Dev? It's inconceivable. Lord Chaitanya, he said a beautiful prayer when he was in Singhachalam, that Lord Narsingha is like the mother lion. Anyone who tries to hurt her little baby, she's death personified. But for her little cub, she's the sweetest, most gentle, caring, nourishing mother. Little Vamana Dev, he appeared so small, he was a dwarf. But when he wanted to manifest his pastime with Bali Maharaj, that little dwarf with one step covered half the universe. And with his other step, he covered the other half of the universe. Now today's astrologers and scientists with their best telescopes, they could see the first step to some extent. But they can't even fathom what's beyond the first step. Second step to the end of the universe. Parasuram, Lord Sri Ramchandra. The Lord manifests his greatness through these different avatars. And Srimad Bhagavatam tells Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. The origin, the source of all incarnations is Krishna. He's Purna Avatar. He's all of the opulences, all of the greatness, all of the strength, all of the attributes of all incarnations are simultaneously, eternally within Krishna. But Krishna is even more. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In this particular chapter that we're reading today, it tells how Krishna descends in these various incarnations to remove the burden of the world.
But removing the burden of the world is not the work of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the work of the maintainer of the universe, Lord Vishnu. But in the previous Dwapar Yuga, the very end, the time for Krishna to personally appear in his original form was at the same time as Krishna's Yuga avatar. And our scripture tells, when Krishna personally comes to this world, Lord Vishnu and all other incarnations, all the Leela avatars like Matsya and Varaha and Kurma and Narasimha and Ram, Buddha, all the Yuga avatars, the Guna avatars, the Manvantars, all the various avatars for all of eternity. Vishnu himself. They all merge into the body of Krishna. When Krishna kills demons, he's actually doing it through his Vishnu Tattva. Because it's Vishnu's work to remove the burden of the earth. Krishna comes for two reasons. To Prema Ras, Chaitanya Charitamrita tells, to reveal the ecstatic, intimate, pure love within his pastimes. Raga Marg, and to reveal to the world and invite the world, attract the world to these intimate, loving pastimes in the spiritual world. Krishna is coming to attract our hearts. In Krishna's pastimes, by hearing them, by understanding them, we surrender to Krishna. And through this path, Krishna attracts our hearts away from everything of this material existence. Taittiriya Upanishad tells Raso Bhai Saha that Krishna is the reservoir of all reciprocal exchanges and of all loving sentiments. And here in this chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are given entrance into Krishna's own personal thoughts in the spiritual world. Krishna's saying, thinking that this in the entire universe has the conception of the majesty of God. But such majesty cripples the love that pleases the Lord. Simple, pure, intimate, loving exchange. Krishna wants to reveal that to us. And therefore, when Krishna descends, he brings his own associates. He brings his own eternal abode of Vrindavan to attract our hearts. Krishna's mother
In her spontaneous love, Krishna he forgets by his own sweet will his majesty, and he feels himself dependent on her love like a child. And Yashoda Mai, she is thinking like that. Krishna is my child. She nourishes him. She protects him. He's helpless without me. The friends of Krishna, they are climbing on Krishna's back. Kaviraj Goswami tells, they are saying to Krishna, you think you're a very big man, but I am equal or better than you. Krishna agrees. And gopis, his beloveds, they're reproaching Krishna. They chastise Krishna. And when they chastise Krishna, it steals his mind away from the praise of all the Vedic hymns. Krishna's Hari. He steals everyone's minds, either through his internal energy or external energy. But the gopis, when they chastise Krishna, it steals Krishna's mind. That cannot be imitated. It's because the intimacy, the purity of their love. And Krishna, who's the origin of everything that exists, we learn from Bhagavad Gita, we should understand that everything that attracts us in this world, Krishna's the origin. And the perfect source of everything is present in Goloka Vrindavan. What is, for many of us, what is it about little people that melts our hearts? It's like little children, especially for a parent, but even for brahmacharis and sannyasis and other, when you see a little child just like smiling and jumping and trying to talk, something happens to our hearts. Yes? Even if you're demoniac. You know, Hiranyakashipu, when he saw little five-year-old Prahlad, it describes, you know, his hairs were standing on end and tears were in his eyes when he was smelling his little Prahlad's head. He's such a demon and he's so cruel, but still a little boy just charmed his heart. But then the next minute he was trying to murder Prahlad. And that's a very corrupt state. But still, that attraction's there. And not only that, when you see a little puppy dog, a little puppy going, somehow, oh, so nice. Look, little deer, Bharat Maharaj, how he's attracted by this little deer. And actually, if you go to Govardhan Eco Village, you'll see even a little baby donkey or goat, when they're that size, they're so sweet. So our little baby, little children, with the little girl is, where does that attraction come from? From Bal Gopal. Because when Krishna's a little child, when he's a baby, when he's in his Pokanda Lila, Bal Lila, he attracts the hearts of all the Brijavasis. And somehow or other, he's the source of all that attract. He's all attractive.
So we're attracted to a little child of whatever species they may be. We should know the origin of that attraction, and the actual object of that attraction is Krishna, who's eternally attracting his mother, his father, his friends, as a little baby and then a little child. So the love of a parent. Then there's the love of friends. Could be very strong. Where does that come from? Whatever love there is for any friends within all of existence, its goal, its source, its substance is the soul's love for Krishna as a friend. And then we're attracted to lovers, to handsomeness, to beauty. Yes? Bollywood. Where is all that coming from? People are trying to look so nice and trying to attract us by the way they talk and the way they act and the way they kill people and the way they do romance. The source is Krishna. His Kishor Lila. He's all attractive. He's the supreme lover. So everything we're looking for in every way is in Krishna. But unfortunately, when we don't understand that Krishna is the origin and Krishna is the ultimate goal and Krishna is the true object of every sentiment of love, then we try to find it in reflections. This material existence is full of reflections. In Krishna consciousness, we see the reflections, but we see that they're all reflecting Krishna. That's Krishna consciousness. When Krishna tells one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for that person, never lost in me or never lost to me. What does it mean to see Krishna in everything and everything in Krishna? Krishna's reflecting in everything. But if we're not seeing Krishna in the reflection, then we become further bound up by illusion, because we become more and more attracted and attached to things that divert our attention away from Krishna. Krishna's Rasa Vihari. And that love that we're all seeking in its fullest, simplest, most intimate, highest, and most inclusive form is revealed in Vrindavan. Only one time in a day of Brahma does Krishna reveal his pastimes in Vrindavan to this world. Vyasadev, when he was enlightened by Narada Muni, he wrote so many Vedic literatures. But he was not happy until Narada Muni told him that he should write the Srimad Bhagavatam. Amalam Puranam. The crest jewel, the crescendo of all knowledge. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes so many great devotees and how they achieve love for the Supreme Lord. And so many of the principal avatars are described. There's a few chatters about Narasingha Dev, a couple chatters about Varaha Dev, Vamana Dev, Parasuram, Ramchandra, Kurma, Matsya.
But the culmination, the 10th canto. How many chapters about Krishna? Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, Mathura Leela, Dwarka Leela. And the culmination of all the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Is Sri Radha's love. How Krishna is subordinate to the love of his devotees. Yashoda Mai binds up Krishna. And Krishna cries. Yashoda Mai shows Krishna a stick. And Krishna trembles in fear and begs his mother, please put down the stick. Don't touch me with that stick. Krishna runs to Yashoda Mai with tears in his eyes. I'm hungry. Please feed me. And the cowherd voice. With Krishna in so many ways. They go to the pastures, they collect fruit, they throw one fruit into the air, and then they throw another fruit to hit that fruit. And if somebody could actually do it, they all congratulate and dance and sing, well done, well done. And to please his friends, Krishna dances like a peacock, he sings like a cuckoo. He plays his flute. Krishna's just trying to make his friends happy. And when Krishna loses in a wrestling match, he's very happy. And all the gopas are very happy, just see. And even the cows are happy, and the calves. Why? Why is everybody happy when Krishna loses? Because Krishna's happy. Bhakti is so simple. We can describe it with so many philosophical with so many analogies and so many slokas to explain systematically, intricately why this is happening. But it's very simple. Everyone in Vrindavan is happy when Krishna loses the wrestling match because Krishna's happy. Everyone just wants Krishna to be happy. If Krishna wasn't happy, nobody would be happy. So Krishna's subordinate to the love of his friends. And he tells gopis that I cannot repay you for your love even in an entire lifetime of Brahma. When Sri Radha is angry upon Krishna for Krishna's satisfaction and doesn't want to look at Krishna, doesn't want to play with Krishna, Krishna's putting his head on her feet and bathing her feet with his tears, begging for her love. In this way, Krishna's showing Sakyaras, Atsalyaras, Madhuryaras, how his great pleasure is to be subordinate to the love of his devotees. Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma to reveal these pastimes. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Shri Radha Govinda Dev, comes to taste these pastimes and distribute these pastimes to the world. Not in a cheap way. We cannot just start talking and thinking like Brijbasis, because we don't even understand how God's great yet. They are so far beyond. But the simplicity of their devotion, the exalted state of their surrender, is our highest aspiration. To follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan is the only way to understand Krishna of Vrindavan. And those residents of Vrindavan, they came down to this world with Lord Chaitanya as the six Goswamis and other great acharyas. And by their lives, they taught us what it, to follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, Narottam Das Thakur tells, is the way of entering and understanding Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada came to give us that authentic, true method, lifestyle of how to follow in the footsteps of the Goswamis. Not to speak of impossible to properly imitate gopis. How could we imitate Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami? They're so exalted in their austerity, in their following regulative principles. We cannot imitate. But following in the footsteps, meaning, as Srila Prabhupada has taught us, if we just try to follow that sincerely, with simple heart, pure devotional service is so rare because Krishna makes himself subordinate to a pure devotee. But Krishna gives it easily. If we're sincere, if we're serious, we have no ulterior motives. With simple heart, how to please Krishna. With simple hearts, how to truly take shelter of Krishna's names. With simple heart, how to really try to absorb ourselves in hearing Krishna's message and Krishna's pastimes. With a simple heart, to make our offerings, whatever we have, whatever knowledge, whatever wealth, whatever skills, whatever influence of others, Krishna, how can I please you? That's the simple process of Krishna consciousness. This is the method Lord Chaitanya has given us, how to take shelter. And then, in the next 2 days, we can have a happy Janmashtami. Thank you very much.